Well, happy All Saints Day. It was a couple of days ago, but we're celebrating it this Sunday. And it's one of my favorite feasts, actually, when we celebrate all the saints. We get to survey history. We get to look around us and see the saints that are sitting right beside us. Did you know that you were a saint? How many knew they were saints? Okay, nobody. Okay, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you are a saint. If you've put him first in your life, you are a saint. Now, we celebrate saints that supposedly have done miracles and brought thousands to the Lord, but we're all saints. If we are followers of our Lord Jesus Christ, this is our day too. And it is a great day because we can remember all of the saints that have gone before us. St. Paul, St. Peter, Mother Mary, Wycliffe, Calvin, Martin Luther, Mother Teresa. Thank you so much. Petra. Pope John Paul II. There's a great cloud of witnesses, a great cloud of saints that surround us. And then there's us that are still here. But sometimes this is also a mixed blessing day because we remember the saints that have pierced our hearts, that have filled our hearts. And we're a little bit heartbroken. Maybe it's a mom who died too early at age 44. Maybe it's a sibling who just died a month ago from cancer. Maybe it's a spouse who was never supposed to die first and who you've never quite gotten over. These are our well-beloved and always missed personal saints. And maybe we're still mourning for people that are saints that we didn't even know. Little children, victims of wars that their elders are waging. Beautiful young people that have died because of poverty and drug addiction. Goodness, even our own Matthew Perry from Friends. I think some of us sort of miss him too. All Saints' Day, truly a mixed blessing. But then we open scripture and we get our reading today from the book of Revelation. After this, I looked and there was a great multitude that no one could count from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages standing before the throne and before the Lamb, robed in white with palm branches in their hands. They cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God who is seated on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels stood around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, singing, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever." This gives us the parallel story. This gives us the other side of sainthood. Not the sadness of a too short life, which many of the early saints endured after being tortured to death. Not the anguish of injustice and intolerance. On this side of glory, we do mourn and we do lament. But here, St. Paul tells us, well, not in this passage, but that we do not mourn as those who have no hope. When we read this passage in Revelation, we see where our hope comes from. And it's only God that can give us this hope. In the same way that the angel in Revelation showed all these things to John, John now wants us to see them as well. But we do get a choice. What does John say? After this, I looked. We have to open our eyes if we want to see the bigger picture. We have to choose not to believe just what we see on earth, because that will break our hearts, but what we know will take place in the life to come. And we get to choose whether we're going to look. After this, I looked. And what did John see? First of all, he saw a great multitude. He says that they are uncountable. There are so many of them, which I think is really hilarious, because in the verses just prior to that, he actually counts them all out and he tells us how many from each tribe. But now he's saying it goes beyond the tribes of Israel. It's uncountable. The mercy of God is that great that heaven is just going to be packed with the saints of God. I think heaven's going to have to be awfully big. So there's multitudes upon multitudes upon multitudes, like the sand of the sea. We won't be able to count them. They'll be, first of all, from every nation, Canada and Portugal, Ethiopia and Angola, China and Tibet, Russia and Ukraine, Israel and Palestine. Our categories and our borders mean nothing to God. God is no respecter of persons, and out of every tribe and every nation, God will bring his saints to that glorious conclusion. All tribes, peoples, and languages. Not just the borders of nations, but all the tribes. There'll be people there that look like you. There'll be people there that look like me. There'll be people there whose native tongue we will be able to speak. We'll know each other. We'll be able to talk to each other. I have really a lousy capacity to understand every language. Well, basically English, that's about it. But when we get to heaven, we're going to know each other. We're going to understand each other. It's going to be glorious. What a time of sharing. We get new robes, new clothes. I like that as a female, new clothes. And these are robes that have been washed in the blood of Christ. Washed clean so that they're pure. I don't know about you, but I always like to wear new clothes. I don't know whether these robes will be silky or whether they'll be woolly, but each of them will fit us. New clothes, robed in white with palm branches. Now, I've just learned actually yesterday that palm branches were often a symbol of martyrs. But I like to think these palm branches are going to be like the ones that the people held on Palm Sunday, the Sunday when they got it right, when Jesus came into Jerusalem and they were waving them. So it's going to be a parade in heaven, a parade in honor of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to celebrate Santa Claus parade in a couple of weeks and give out Mexican hot chocolate, which is going to be really fun. And we love to see the kids go by and Santa Claus go by. This parade will be even better. This parade will be even better. And most important, they'll be singing the truth. Salvation belongs to the King who is sitting on the throne and to the Lamb. No more lies when we get to be with these saints in heaven. Salvation belongs to the Lord God, and he's seated on his throne. That means the work is done. When a king sits down, that means he's welcoming all his subjects, all his children, all the one that he loves. There's no more work to be done because salvation has already happened. Through God the Father, through the Lamb, Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit. But then I love this part too. It says that there are angels. I can't wait to see what an angel looks like. It's not just our human tribes. It's going to be angels that we're going to get to meet when we get to the other side. And creatures, those of you who were there for our Bible study in Revelation that we did last spring, creatures are kind of weird things, aren't they? They look different than we expect them to do, but creatures, there are going to be creatures in heaven. And I don't know about you, but when I think of creatures, I think of animals. So I'm looking forward to maybe seeing animals in heaven. Lions and lambs, kittens and dogs, whatever animal you love, I bet those animals are going to be in heaven too. Maybe there'll even be some Narnian animals that we've all wanted to see for most of our lives. And what are they going to be doing when they're in heaven? They're going to be singing. If you have a musical talent, you're going to be able to use it in heaven. If you don't have a musical talent, I think you're going to be given a good singing voice when you get to heaven. We are going to be singing and worshiping the King. We're going to be giving God honor, blessing, glory, wisdom, thanksgiving, honor, power, and might is going to go to the one who deserves it, the one who has saved us, the one who has invited us to be his saints and his children. We're told later in the book of Revelation that John is overwhelmed. I can imagine when you're seeing all this, you can't take it in. It's so stupendous. And I think it's okay for us to be overwhelmed as well. We're going to see things that we can't ask or imagine. It's going to be amazing. We're often overwhelmed by what we see on earth here, but this is going to be a glorious overwhelming. We won't be able to take in all the goodness that we will see when we are with those saints above. Somebody might say to me, well, you're so heavenly minded that you really know earthly good. But I don't actually buy that. I think most of us are so earthly minded that we're actually no earthly good because we haven't seen the full picture. We get bogged down in the lament and the mourning, and there is lots to lament and lots to mourn. But that is not what gives us our courage. That is not what gives us our strength to go on. Yes, we mourn, but we do not mourn as those without hope. And when you have got hope, that is what will give you courage to stand against the evil in the world, because there's a lot of it. But we need to see that heavenly picture that John wants us to see. Don't be overcome just by frustration and grief, but be overwhelmed by this picture that John is giving us. So let's remind ourselves, what is the condition of the saints, the ones that we have had to say goodbye to, the ones that we read about in our history books? First of all, they're restored. They're restored to full glory. Maybe they died really young in life, but they are now restored to maturity in the Lord. They are clothed anew. They are worshiping the one that they have loved here on earth, and the one that we continue to love. When we're saints here on earth, there is still work to be done. There are still a million things that we can do for God's kingdom. But most of all, we can love Christ right here and right now. And when we get to the other side, we are going to see that what we loved here, who we loved here, is going to be there to reward us. The things that we have said in faith, I believe in the resurrection and the everlasting life, we are going to see that that is true, and we are going to start living that life. in all its fullness. Amen.